So Maseches Yadayim, the second to last Masechta in Shas, is the first Masechta in Taharas to be like Mishnayis Megillah, in the sense that it's just about totally devoted to Dinim Derabanan, from beginning to end. Maseches Yadayim is officially about the concept of Tumas Yadayim, of Tamei hands, how hands become Tameh, and how hands become Tahar. Now, the fascinating thing is that Min HaTorah, there's no such thing as Tameh hands. As we discussed just yesterday in Tevil Yom, object boundaries. Typically, either an entire item is Tahar, or the entire item is Tameh. Whether we're talking about food, a piece of food, as we were talking about yesterday in Tevil Yom, or a Kli, or a person. Right? There's no such thing as my nose is Tameh. Either I'm Tameh or I'm Tahar, right? And we've said in the past that we chazer once again, what's quoted in Bava Kama Dav Beis, that an Ava Tumah can be Tameh Adam Mekelim Ochlim and Mashkim, but a Rishon can only be Tameh Ochlim and Mashkim, not Adam Mekelim. That's because, leaving the beautiful Rebbe Chanan, beginning Bava Kama, but gets involved in the details. But basically, Adam Vekelim can become a Rishon, but only Ochlo Mashkim can go down to being a Sheni. Adam Vekelim can only go down so far as a Rishon, so the only way they can become Tamei typically is from an Av Hatumah. There's no such thing in HaTorah as Adam or Kelim that are a Sheni L'Tumah. We discussed yesterday, Tevil Yom is a Din Daraisa by Adam and Kelim after going to Mikvah, and it functions sort of like a Sheni L'Tumah. There's no such thing as an Adam or a Kli contracting Tumah, getting Tumah, and that Tumah is at the level of a Shein L'Tumah. Min HaTorah. Tumas Yadayim is a Din D'Rabbanan, which is an exception to both of these rules. It's a double Chiddush, a double Yotzim Naklal. It's a situation where you have only part of a person is Tameh, and that Tumah is at the level of Shein L'Tumah. So obviously, anytime you would actually become Tameh in HaTorah, you'll be a Rishon L'Tumah, and you'll be fully Tameh. And the way to remove that Tumah, we should add also, is Tfilas Kol Gufo. Right? One of the basic dinim, mikvos is mostly about the halachas of the cheftza of the mikvah. But in terms of the Maisa Tfila, one of the most basic dinim, the Rechatzas Kol B'Sero B'Mayim, you have to have your entire body immersed at one moment. This is not kashering a kli, where you could do this part and then that part. A tevila requires kol gufa b'vasachas, the entire body of the person or the entire body of the kli has to have one moment at which is simultaneously the entire surface is submerged under the water. But tumas yadayim is a double chiddush. It's only your hands, not the rest of your body, and it's just a sheni l'tuma. And taharas hayadayim, the Mishnayos tell us, come through an act of netilas yadayim. When you have a tumas yadayim drabanan, you have a tumas drabanan on your hands alone, the way you remove that tumah is through an act of netilas yadayim. So that's actually one of the ways in which this is one of those mesachtas that actually has a fair amount of overlap with halacha lamasa, halacha lamaisa bizman hazeh, because many of the dinim of the type of netilas yadayim that we practice, netilas yadayim in advance of eating certain foods such as bread, those dinim tend to that, though that's sugyas, as we know in Perek HaBasar, in our Perek, in our Masechta, in the 8th Perek of Maseches Chulin. But those the sugyas in the Bavli are largely in Perek HaBasar and rooted very much in these Mishnayos, in the first two prakim of Maseches Yadayim, because officially the first two prakim of Maseches Yadayim are about the Tahara process, and the latter two prakim, prakim Gimel and Dalet, are about where the Tumah comes from, sort of like a reverse order. And over the course of those first two prakim, so in the first parak we hear a lot about the ingredients, and the second parak we hear about how you put it together. The first parak has a lot about what types of water are kosher for netilas yadayim, how much water do you need, and what type of kli is kosher for netilas yadayim. And then, because it has to be a kli, it has to have the status of a kli. That's relevant for Netilas Adayim Bizman Hazeh as well. And then the second parak moves to discussion of the Maisa Netila, doing both hands together, doing just one hand at a time, how it works, how you sequence the pouring. And then the Mishnayos begin to get a little bit into the mechanics of what happens when your hands are tame. Because it, being that midrabanan yadayim shnios, your hands become, when you have a tuma, tumas yadayim midrabanan, your hands become a shein l'tuma. So as we know, chulin food cannot can only become a sheini. So your hands, which are yadayim shnios, they won't make regular food tame. Being your hands are shnios midrabanan, they only impact truma or kachem. That's really what the Tumas Sedaim is about. When your hands are tame midrabanan for some reason or another, until you do a proper Netilas Sedaim to remove that Tumah, those hands should not be in contact with Truma, or less commonly with Kachem, with Karbanos, and that's what the Mishnah mentions. The Mishnah at the end of the second parak talks a little bit about some of the rules of Suffolk, a concept which we dealt with very heavily in the first parak of Chulin, and this is, as we've seen, one of several locations in Mishnah's Taurus that return to the concept of Safek. We say it was probably the primary headquarters of Taurus HaSfekus and Seder Taurus, as we saw, is Mishnayos Taurus. It appears as well at the end of the second parak of Yedayim. And then turn our attention to the third and fourth parakim. As I mentioned, they are officially all about what's the source. We really could have come, logically, could have come first. What's the source of Tumas Yedayim? Now that we discussed what's the status of Tumas Yedayim, how does it work when your hands are Tame? How are they Metame Truma? And what sort of Netilas Yedayim do I need? What sort of water and Kli and Maisa do I need to remove the Tumah? Now, in the latter two Prakim Gimel and Dalet, talk about, well, where would this Tumah come from? So it's very fast and some fascinating things. Cases where Min HaTorah you would be Tahar entirely. Because again, as we said, in a case where you're tame, meaning that Torah, your whole body is tame. In a case where you're Torah, you're Torah entirely. But midirabanan, Chazal goes there, Tumas Yedayim. But sometimes it has to do, at least in certain cases, with touching a Rishon Lutuma with your hands. And again, as we've said, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, Min HaTorah, a Rishon Lutuma cannot impact the under the Kalim, only Ochlum Mashkim, because Min HaTorah, Adam Mekalim cannot become Sheni Latuma. So if Moshe handled a dead mouse, the dead mouse is an Av and Moshe is a Rishon. If I shake hands with Moshe, Mr. Shem, we should be Zocha soon, with Corona should Ad Yavar Zam, and we should be able to resume normal social interaction like shaking hands with each other. We'll probably still remember how to do that. We'll need a little practice. The thumb, the hands, you interlock them like that? Exactly. There you go, a Zoom handshake. So if Moshe is legitimately min haTorah rishon l'tumah because he touched the sheretz, a dead sheretz, so he's a rishon l'tumah min haTorah. If I shake hands with him min haTorah, I'm totally tahar because I can't become a sheni. Midrabanan, it may be there are situations where they say midrabanan, if I touch a rishon l'tumah with my hands, I remain tahar, but midrabanan, my hands are tameh. Midrabanan, my hands need until sedayim before I can touch Truma. And if I don't touch washing tails, my hands are tame. Shnius latum, shnius midrabanan. If I don't wash the tails, adayim, and instead go ahead and touch some Truma, they already had Echsher, then the Truma will become pasul midrabanan. So the Mishnah has discussed what are the situations where you have a Tum, what generates a Tumas Adayim. Mishnah has talked about how about if I stick my hands into a bayis hamanuga, a place with saras, how about this, how about that? Various situations where, again, it's not a tumah min haTorah, but maybe Chazal imposed a tumah midrabanan. So that's many vigorous machloksin amongst the Rishonim. Amongst the Tanam about that beginning of the third parak. And then, very, very fascinating. The Mishnayos tell us in the third and fourth prakim, the most famous type of tumas, most famous source, and the most sort of perplexing, paradoxical, puzzling source of tumas yadayim, midrabanan, is when your hands touch kisvei hakodesh. If when your hands touch one of the 24 svarim of Tanakh written on cloth, not a printed chumash like this, but a real Sefer Torah or Chumashim or Nevi'im or Ksuvim. You have a Yeshayahu or a Megillas Esther written on cloth. So if your hands touch that, your hands become a sheni l'tumah midrabanan. Mishnais even go on to talk about in Perek Gimel. It's not just if you touch the cloth. How about if you touch Ritzuos shel tefillin? Machlokas hatanoim. Did your hands become tummy this morning when you put on tefillin? When you touched the ritzuos, you weren't touching the cloth inside the batim. So very fascinating. Very fascinating. And this gets into the discussion of what is a sefer of Tanakh? Sort of like it's like a whole new, I mentioned yesterday that Yodayim opens up a whole new global world, sort of launching off from the Dindraban of Tumas Yodayim again to what's very much a fundamental concept of what are the Sifrei Tanakh. Mishnayos talk about the significance of Vayhi ben Sohar Ha'aron as a sefer, independent sefer of Tanakh, or an analog to Vayhi ben Sohar Ha'aron, and then you have the machlokas about canonization. Which svarim belong in the Tanakh? There were Tanam who said that Koheles is not part of the Tanakh. The Tanam have a machlokas about Shir HaShirim. Is that part of the Tanakh? And then there's a machlokas whether there ever was a machlokas. Rabbi Akiva says no one ever debated Shir HaShirim. Kodesh Kadashim, a very famous line from the end of the third parak. Chas V'Shalom, he says, no one ever debated whether Shir HaShirim should belong or not. So it's fascinating. It's like a practical nafkamina, a technical practical nafkamina, this fundamental question of what are the Sifrei Tanakh, a technical nafkamina. If I touched it and I touched Truma, do I have to throw the Truma, do I have to burn the Truma or not? Or is the Truma still kosher? Are they metame sayedayim? And again, as I said before, it's sort of paradoxical. We think of the Tanakh as the essence of Kedusha. Why is Tanakh making my hands tame? I would have thought of anything adarabba. Maybe if I have Tumas Yadayim and I touch Tefillin, I touch Tanakh, that should make my hands Tahar and Kadosh. So the Tanam explained it was a very practical gzeira. The concern was that farmers would often have Truma. I'm a farmer and I set aside Truma. If there's no Truma, has to be given to the Kohen. And Truma has to be kept Tahar. Not only is it Matnas Kuhuna, but it has Kedushin. If it becomes Tameh, it's forbidden to eat it. So if I'm a farmer and there's no Kohen in the immediate area, so I have to put the truma aside until a coin passes through. So where am I going to store the holy truma? Where am I going to put it into safekeeping? So what had become common at one point, probably during the period of the Bayesheni, was that farmers would leave, as they figured, halalu kodesh, halalu kodesh. The Sifrei Torah, that's filling our kadosh, and the truma is kadosh. So what better place to store the truma than in the Aron Kodesh? Seems very logical. Beautiful. There's a practical problem, which is truma is food. Food draws mice. And once the mice are drawn to your store of grain or dried fruit or whatever it is, whatever that truma is that's in storage waiting for a coin to pass by, once the truma food draws the mice, they will end up, if the truma is stored next to Sefer Torah, the mice will end up nibbling on the Sefer Torah as well. And apparently this was such a common phenomenon. It was the Instagram fad of 2,200 years ago, leaving the truma next to you in your Aron Kodesh next to your Sefer Torah. It was like all the rage. It really was. It was a very common. Again, it has a certain natural logic to it, and it presents a real problem in terms of Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh and in terms of Posseling Kisvei HaKodesh. So Chazal realized that apparently they were trying to educate people not to, and it wasn't working. It was a persistent problem. That farmers in outlying areas without Kohanim nearby would be storing their truma next to the Kisvei HaKodesh. So much so that finally Chazal had to pull out the nuclear option. The nuclear option was, we're going to say that we're going to create a new Tumah Drabanan that touching Kisvei HaKodesh makes your hands Tameh Midrabanan. Again, as we said before, Tumas Yadayim Midrabanan is Yadayim Shnios. So it doesn't impact regular food. It only impacts, well, karbanos, if you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, or more typically, truma. That's what Tumas Yadayim is about. Once your hands are tameh, they possel any truma that they touch. So that was the best way The most effective way Chazal has a device that they came up with, a strategy to make sure that people will keep their Sifrei Torah and Sifrei Nach far from their Truma, is we'll say, if you touch your Sifrei Torah, your hands are postlos as HaTruma. So then the last place you would want to keep your Truma is right next to your Kisrei HaKodesh. But again, this was a strategy that Chazal had in order to solve a practical problem of maintaining the physical integrity of Kisrei HaKodesh, keeping the mice that might be drawn to the Truma that's in the long-term storage, keeping those mice away from the Kisrei HaKodesh. That's the first major tangent. That's not even a tangent, but the first major sort of global intersection with a global concept is in the third and fourth parak of Yadayim, the idea of Kisrei HaKodesh Mitamim Sayadayim. That ironically, but understandably, midrabanan maga hayadayim bekisvei hakodesh will make the hands tame. And then you should know that over the course of the fourth parak, the fourth parak gets into two types of tangents, which I'll mention very briefly. Again, we've seen that before we started learning Taurus, maybe we thought that tangents of formatting tangents are unique to the Ein Beins in the Megillah. And those Mishnayos in the end of the first parak of Chulin, but we've seen several times throughout Seder Taurus is actually not uncommon. The fourth parak of Yadayim has two. This might be the only place in Shas. We have a single parak that has two different sets of tangents. Where it's sort of about what ties a series of Mishnayos together is the format rather than the content. The beginning of the parak Dalet is about Bo Bayom, different things that happened on that day. What things did they vote on? On that day, Bo Bayom, that day. I actually came across some of these quoted in the Gemara in the first paragraph of Chulin. Bo Bayom, that day was a day that Rabbi Gamliel was impeached, as we learn about in Maseches Brachos. Rabbi Gamliel was impeached and Reuel ben Azaria was installed in his place as the Nasi of Sanhedrin, and Reuel ben Azaria had a radically different approach to yeshiva admissions, and he led in many hundreds, maybe thousands more Talmidim. He had the Beis Hillel, the Hillel approach as opposed to the Shammai approach. Ironically, Rav Gamliel was a descendant of Hillel, but he had taken the Shammai approach to a much more demanding admission standard. And when Reb Azaria opened things up, so that Bo Bayom, on that day, there were many Tanan that were able to come into the Beis Medrash and participate in the conversation, and there were many issues that were raised and voted on. Yeah, that day or the period that began on that day. The Gemara understands in Brachas that the entire Maseches Adios dates back to that day. And here you have a series of Mishnayos, the beginning of Yadayim, that go through different issues that were voted on that day. Again, a little bit about Taurus, a little bit about Kutchim, a little bit about Zeraim. A wide array of topics. You have more than one Shakvatarya here. One is particularly lengthy. And then the Mishnayos return to discussion about the Tumas Yadayim of Kisrei HaKodesh, if it's in translation. And then the rest of the Perek, the end of the last Perek of Yadayim, is a different formatting tangent. Very fascinating. Another historical twist. It's Machloksin between the Rabbanim and the Tzedukim. Different issues that were debated. And you get to hear some of the debate. And a little bit of a Torah Mada here. You could take a peek. After all this discussion of Sifrei Tanakh, that's actually how we get into this, the Tzedukim taunt the Rabbanim. I don't understand. The Sifrei Tanakh caused Tuma, and Homer doesn't. Sifrei Homerus doesn't cause Tuma. How could that be? Well, what is this with you rabbis? Again, remember, the Tzedukim were Torah Shebichsav only. So they, the undertext, the subtext of this Mishnah, they're making fun, oh, you Rabban, you don't really hold the Tanakh. He says, look, you hold the Tanakh causes Tuma. You're looking at Tanakh as though it's a lower level than Homer. What's wrong with you, that Tzedukim said to Rabbanim? And Reuchem ben Zakkai fascinates, because I have to look inside. Reuchem ben Zakkai's content and his debating style sort of pulls them in, and at first they think that he's on their side. And then he turns around and points out, that's the way it always is. Now, again, we explained before that this was a dindur rabbanan for a particular purpose. The fact that Kisrei HaKodesh Matamis HaYadayim, But he points out it's also true that the bones of a dead donkey are not matame. The bones of a dead human being, a dead Kohen Gadol, are matame. Why is that? He says, you see sometimes that with greater kedusha, or with greater potential for kedusha, comes greater susceptibility to tumah. It's not that we hold the Tanakh less than Homer. It's that we hold the Tanakh far, far more than Homer. So it's a fascinating, for those who are wondering, we're talking about the original Homer, not the comic character. We're talking about Homer the Greek. It's a fascinating code. Then you have a series of other machloksim between Stuka and the Prushim as well. It points to the fact that although Tumas Yadayim is Durabanan, this whole Masechta is dedicated primarily to Durabanans. Durabanans are rooted in Doraisas, as we've discussed the concept many times in Chulin, the concept of Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan Kein Doraisa Tikun. And I will leave you with a riddle to think about. It's not only the general theme of greater Kedusha is also great susceptibility to tumah, that theme is already a deraisa theme. The specific notion of netilas yadayim, of washing your hands, already appears in Chumash. Although in the tumah v'tara context, it is entirely drabanan, the notion of netilas yadayim already does appear in Chumash in a different context. You can think about where that might be. You might want to look at the end of the Sedras in Chumash Devarim. That's a little hint for you. And that is another Ke'en Doraisa for this Dindra Abanan of Netilas Yadayim.